I'm so thankful that where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, He is in the midst. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is here, and I want God to move upon us in a special way. And this is a special time for me, because as I've always felt that as you stand behind a pulpit, it's a holy place. But I want to tell you, this day, I don't feel like I'm standing behind a holy place. It's not as nice as the one that I've known all the time. But it fits into the message that God has given me for today. Because looking in God's Word, we will, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And then these words are new for me, and God is using them in my life today. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And the word holiness has been something that hasn't really got into me. I thank God for God's mercy. I thank God that Jesus went to Calvary and that He died and rose again. And because He lives, we're able to have our sins forgiven. And so I have thanked God that when we miss the mark, that we're able to ask God to forgive us. But God has a desire, and it is that you and I could be holy. That you and I could be holy. And it says here, perfecting holiness. Coming to the place where holiness is perfect. I find, well, praise the Lord, I'm serving Him. But God has ministered to me and caused me to find that I have a desire and a faith that God is going to let me be perfect. Bringing me on into perfect holiness, free from everything that isn't what God wants. Looking up that word holiness, I find that it is in the dictionaries we see one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Perfect in goodness and righteousness. And I've never seen in my thoughts that I am going to be perfect. I'm going to have God's mercy. I'm going to have God's help. I'm going to be brought into a better moment. But no, it's better than that. God wants us to get perfect. Perfect in goodness and righteousness. And we find that it goes on, that another thought is that we are blessed are they, God has spoken to me, which do hunger and thirst after holiness. For they shall be changed. They shall be changed. And so there's a new word in my thoughts. There's a new word in my prayers. There's a new word in my moment. It's holiness. It's holiness. It's holiness. Not just salvation. Holiness. I want to be what God wants me to be. God, bring me into holiness. Let me be brought into holiness. Dear God, I am believing for it that I am to be holy. May God let us be brought into holiness is my prayer. And then looking in Psalms 139, and it tells us here, verse 23 and 24, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts, hallelujah. And here we find that it is saying that we need God to test our thoughts. May God minister to us in such a way and point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Oh, not just what I am saying, and that's what I'm very serious about, but God is saying, what's going on in your thoughts? May God help my thoughts to be in tune with Him. May God bring me on into the fullness of the blessing of the Lord so that my thoughts are pleasing unto Him. And then looking in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, obey God because you are His children. Don't slip back into your old ways doing evil because you knew no better, but be holy now in everything you do, just as the Lord is holy, who invited you to be His child. He Himself has said, you must be holy, for I am holy. And so I find that God is saying that we are not just to be saved, we are not just to know that our sins have been forgiven, but God wants to bring us on into holiness. May God let me be holy. It is God's will. And then looking in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, long ago, even before He made the world, God chose us to be His very own, hallelujah, through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us what? To make us holy in His eyes. And the next words touch me deeply. Without a single fault. Without a single fault. Without a single fault. And I tell you, I've come a long ways, but I got further to go before I am without a single fault. Will my wife be happy when I don't have a single fault? Will I be so blessed when I don't have a single fault? May the Holy Spirit minister to us and let us know that He wants to create a people that are not just forgiven. He wants to create a people that don't have a single fault. God help me, I pray, because I know that God is able to take me further if I know His word and if I love His word. And this isn't my word, it's His word. He is able to bring us to the place where we don't have a single fault. Oh, hallelujah. I need to have that touch me deeper than just once or twice. It's got to get into my mind. It's got to get into my spirit. It's got to be a vision. I'm on my way to a time when I won't have a single fault because of what God wants out of His people. And so I'm in this hour rejoicing that it's not the pulpit, it's you, it's me, that he wants to make holy. May God touch us in a powerful way. May God minister to us even as we look to him this day. And then looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. What a deep word. God has made a way of escape from temptation. God has made a way of escape from anger. God has made a way of escape from depression. God has made a way of escape from bitterness. God has made a way of escape from lying. God has made a way of escape. Thank God there's a way of escape. You will be tempted, but there's a way of escape. You will be tempted, but there's a way of escape. There you will be tempted, but there is, hallelujah, a way of escape. And then we're looking in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. It seems to be a fact of life, and this is not an easy scripture. Paul is telling us, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what's right, I do what is wrong. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? And I thank God for what follows, because it says, thank God it has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. And so what is he saying? There's a potential in me to do the wrong thing, but praise God, I've been set free. 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 And thank God for every sin you've been set free from. You've been set free from a lot. Thank God for all the sins that you've been set free from. Hallelujah. I can remember early, and I want to tell you, those that have the biggest struggle are young men. Young men have the biggest struggle, the Bible tells us. Young men, women are pretty close. But young men have a terrible moment when they've got two natures and they're looking for God and going to church. But during the rest of the week, they're looking and seeing so much pulling them in a way that ought not to be. But praise God, there's victory through Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Get as close as you can. And remember, begin to pray, God, give me holiness. I want to be holy. Give me holiness, not just salvation. Give me holiness, not just a better attitude. Give me holiness. Give me holiness. Give me holiness. Lord, I want a miracle. I want a miracle. I want holiness. And then looking in chapter 8, as we look at a passage here in verse 4, so now we can obey God's laws if we follow after the Holy Spirit and no longer obey the old nature within us. The old nature is still within you, but you don't have to obey it. The old nature is still within you. If you're a young man, you're looking and seeing she looks pretty good. Oh yeah, I'm married, but she still looks pretty good. I have to admit that. Oh, listen, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost can help you so that you're delivered. Hallelujah. And we can obey God's laws if we follow after the Holy Spirit and no longer obey the old nature within us. Those who let themselves be controlled by their lower nature, you have a lower nature, but you don't need it to control you, live only to please themselves. But those who follow after the Holy Spirit find themselves doing those things that please God. Oh, hallelujah. Following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace. But following after the old nature leads to death. Those who are still under the control of the old sinful selves, bent on following their old evil desires, can never please God. But you are not like that. You are controlled by your new nature if you have the Spirit of God living in you. You are controlled by your new nature. God, I want to be controlled by my new nature. The lying one comes and tells me I can't be that good, but take me higher. Take me higher. Dear God, I pray. And then looking in 8th chapter still, verse 13 and 14. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. They are the sons of God. Let us behold our moment and rejoice as sons and daughters of the Almighty. And I thank God for this church as I take us to another passage. And it says here, Jesus speaking in Matthew's gospel, looking at chapter 25, verse 34 to 40. Then said the king, shall the king say unto them, on his right hand. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was and hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. How do we respond in this way? We do it through the church we're attending. We do it through the church we're worshiping in. We let the church be the one that does that. If you tried to do all of this yourself, people would take advantage of you. You would find that you would be known as somebody you can get some money from, and you would have everybody coming, tipping you upside down. But God's got a way that it works. It's through the thought that we come together and are His. And as a church, we can do all that is said in this scripture. And when the church is doing it, and you're supporting it, you're part of it. Thank God there's a way that it can be done that doesn't tip you upside down. God's got a good way. God's got a good way. Thank God He's got a good way. It's done through the church, which we are a part of today. Thank God for His blessing in all of our living. I thank God for what God is able to do in our moment. May God bless us exceedingly. And then I want to take you to another passage that I asked God to minister to us in a very special way. May God continue to allow us to be blessed by Him is my plea today. May God minister to all of us. The gospel is so precious. Thank God for it. But this is a passage of scripture that I find is something that touches me deeply. Revelation, looking at chapter 3. And I want to start with something in the middle of what I'll be reading. And it says here what a man is saying. You say, I am rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing. I'm rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing. Oh, I wish I could say that. Oh, I wish I could say that. What a wonderful testimony. I'm rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing. It sounds good. It's what a man is saying. But let's find what God is saying. We've read what a man is saying. Let's go to what God is saying. And God is saying something different. He's saying, rich man, I know you well. You are neither hot nor cold. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are merely lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. When you get a whole lot of interest in life, it's easy to get lukewarm. It's easy to get lukewarm. When you know I gotta spend time making money, I gotta spend time in what I'm doing, I gotta do all of that, you can still know I'm not gonna do what's wrong, but what's gonna happen, you're gonna be neither hot nor cold. You're gonna be neither hot nor cold. You're gonna be neither hot nor cold. No, I'm not doing anything real bad. No, I'm doing things that are right, but I know I am lukewarm. God, take me away from being lukewarm. I gotta get to the place where I am hot concerning him. Not cold, but not lukewarm. I know I'm not gonna get cold, but listen, if I'm not careful, I'm lukewarm. Oh God, help me. I need to be more than lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. And he goes on and says it again. You say I am rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that spiritually you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, look, it's so easy to get so many interests that are other than the things of God until the things of God just are something that you're not against, but you're not active. God, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to serve him in a powerful way. I want to run and not be weary. I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I want to be used of thee. May God help us, I pray. May God minister to us in a very special way. And then coming to our last passage for this moment of ministry. So get rid, it says here, of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside. Get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside. Get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside, from A to Z. I want to get rid of all that is wrong in my life, not just spiritual. I want to get away from eating wrong. I want to get away from everything that's a part of not being what it ought to be. I want to find God helping me to be a blessing to my body. I want to be a blessing to my wife. I want to be a blessing to those that are lost. I want to be used of God. And I find that this verse means so much. So get rid of all that is wrong in your life. And I tell you, it's so easy if you got a lot right not to know what's wrong. The more you got right, you're not going to think about what's wrong. You're going to say, the people, they love me. Oh, God is using me. I've come this far. And I tell you, you'll have a testimony, but your testimony is not everything. When you got a testimony, you get rid of what's wrong. You might have a good car, but you need to get rid of what's wrong. You might have different things that are blessed, but get rid of what's wrong. When you got good things, it's easy to just not realize, I got some good things. People know it. I got some good things. I got a testimony. I've got some good things. I've been blessed to serve the Lord. I've got some good things. But what about what's wrong in your life? 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 May God minister to us, and may we bless our blessings. Know what is your blessings and bless it. As you get older, you will find that your body that is automatic pretty much when you're young now is going to take more care and more discipline and more activity to keep it from falling. Bless your blessings. Bless your blessings. Bless your blessings. And ask God to get into your mind and help you to have a vision. I'm on my way to be holy. I'm on my way to be holy. I've already been forgiven. I've already served the Lord, but I'm going on to be holy. I'm going on to be holy. I'm going on. And in the carnal part of my mind, what is the thought? Forget it, George. You'll never be holy. You'll be saved and you'll serve the Lord and you'll work hard and people will appreciate you. But come on, God is holy, not you. But God wants me to be holy. As God is saying, you be holy for I am holy. 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 And being holy is getting to the top. It's not easy to get to the top because people frustrate you. Situations frustrate you, and you need God to help you so that you don't get angry. You need God to help you that you can say, God, I need you to help me. I can't handle this moment without your help. But God is the one that helps us. It's His help in our living. It's His help in all that we're doing. Let God bless you and take you to the place where you realize I'm not what God wants me to be until I'm holy. That's what He wants me to be. He wants me to be holy. Stand up and praise the Lord. Stand up and rejoice with me. Stand up and know in this moment, I haven't got there yet, but I'm going. 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 I haven't got there yet, but I'm going on into holiness.
Amen. Amen. Amen.